الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله؟ ألا إن نصر الله قريب. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن الدنيا عرض حاضر يأكل منه البر والفاجر، ألا وإن الآخرة أجل صادق يقضي فيها ملك عادل قادر، يحق الحق ويبطل الباطل، ألا وإن الخير كله بحذافيره في الجنة، ألا وإن الشر كله بحذافيره في النار، ألا فاعملوا وأنتم من الله على حذر، واعلموا أنكم معروضون على أعمالكم، فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره، ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, in this age of zulmat, of darkness, in this age which is reminiscent, reminds one of the prophecy of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said, Badiru bil amal. He exhorted his ummah to persevere, never ever to become complacent, never to take the iman, the deen, the amal for granted, but to continue endeavoring. Badiru bil amal. Why? Fitanan ka qita'in min al-layli al-muzlim. Because he said, a time of fitna, trials, tribulations are coming upon this ummah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the parable and example, equated the onset of these fitnas with the onset of sections of a dark night. كَقِطَعٍ مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. What is the meaning behind this parable and example? We find it is daylight. The onset of darkness is gradual, stealthily, secretly. A person is not able to identify a specific point where light became darkness. But before we can even realize it, it is completely dark. In the same way, he said, fitnas will come upon my ummah secretly from different directions. And what will be the effect of these fitnas? He said, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A person will have iman in the morning, by the evening he will have become a kafir. يُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. A person will have iman in the evening, by the next morning he will have become a kafir. And what will be the underlying cause? What is that great fear? What is that great test and trial that will cause the ummah to lose its iman like this? He said, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. The love, the attachment, the immersement, the involvement in the material things of this world will overtake the minds and the hearts of my ummah to such an extent that they will sell their iman in return for the paltry things of this dunya. This age, my respected brothers, in which we are living in, is reminiscent of this prophecy of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein we find whole, on a mass scale, hundreds of thousands of people are becoming murtad. For some school education, for some hamper of food, for the paltry returns of this dunya, people are giving up miftahul jannah, the key to jannah, the shahadat of la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. In this age of darkness, in this age of zulmat, for such a gathering to take place, people from different walks of life, different cultures, different background, different races, different creeds, different nationalities, on qurbani, on sacrifice, to have come and gathered on the nisbat of la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not an ordinary thing. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is only the fazl of Allah. It is tawfiq. It is guidance. It is acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is wajib. It is obligatory upon each and every one of us to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To express our gratitude to Allah. Shu'ayb alayhi salam, a great Nabi of Allah. What does he say? وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. That whatever I have done, Jalilul Qadr, Nabi of Allah, he says, whatever I have done, it is with tawfiq from Allah. Upon him I trust and to him I have to return. One incident comes to mind. There was one person, he bought some fish in the marketplace. So to carry his fish home, he looked around for a laborer, found one person and said, they agreed on a stipend, they agreed on some payment, that I'll pay you so much to carry my fish home for me. This laborer is carrying the fish. On the way, they pass the masjid, it's the time of salah. So this laborer says, can I leave this parcel down and go make my salah? This person says, no problem. The laborer proceeds. He performs his salah. This person is waiting outside. The other musallis have come out of the masjid. Finally, he gets frustrated and angry and he shouts out, what is keeping you in the masjid? Come out. So from inside, this laborer shouts that that zat and that being that is keeping you out of the masjid is the one that is keeping me in the masjid. Like the poet says, meri talab bhi kisi ke karam ka sadqa hai. Ye qadam utha nahi uthaya jata hai. That even this desire to go close to Allah Ta'ala, the spurt, the spark of concern for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, this is no personal achievement. This is Allah's favor upon me. The step is not taken by one. One does not take the step of its own accord, but that step is taken. One step we cannot move towards Allah Ta'ala without the acceptance of Allah. One occasion, Dawud alayhi salam addressed Allah Ta'ala and he said, كَيْفَ أَشْكُرُكَ وَشُكْرِي لَكَ نِعْمَةً. He said, oh my Allah, how can I make your shukr? How can I express my gratitude to you? وَشُكْرِي لَكَ نِعْمَةً. When even this much, that the desire to make your shukr has entered my heart, that is also your ni'mat. That is also your bounty. I have to make shukr over the desire to make shukr. So what does Allah Ta'ala say to him? That, O Dawood, now that you have realized this, that every aspect of the existence of this insan from head to toe is dependent on Allah. Every blinking of the eyelid, every breath of air, every movement of the fingers, every thought process is dependent on Allah. أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. Allah Ta'ala declares in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, every one of you is faqir. Every one of you is dependent, every one of you is a beggar on Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyul hamid. Allah is the only zat, Allah is the only being that is totally, completely independent of His entire creation. And worthy of praise is only Allah. O Dawood, now that you have realized this, al-an shakartani, now you have made my shukr. Some purpose, object of the creation of this insan in this world, my respected brothers, is to recognize Allah. Hadith Qudsi, Ama inni lam akhluqkum li astakthira bikum min qilla, wala li astanisa bikum min wahsha, wala li astaina bikum ala amrin qad ajastu an, innama khalaqtukum li ta'buduni tawila, wa tadhkuruni kathira, wa tusabbihuni bukratan wa asila. Allah says, I did not create you because we were lonely and we wanted some company. I did not create you because there was some task that was too difficult for us to carry out and we needed helpers. I did not create you because we numbered few and we wanted to increase our numbers. إِنَّمَا خَلَقْتُكُمْ لِتَعْبُدُونِي طَوِيلًا وَتَذْكُرُونِي كَثِيرًا وَتُسَبِّحُونِي بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. I created you so that you recognize me. I created you so that you make my ma'rifat. I created you so that you make sujood before me. I created you so that from head to toe the qibla, rukh and direction of your heart becomes Allah only. Innal quwwata lillahi jami'a, every power belongs to Allah. Lillahi al-amr min qabl wa min ba'd. Decree belongs to Allah from before and after. Ala lahul khalqu wal amr. Listen, takhliq, creation belongs to Allah. Amr and decree belongs to Allah. Sabbaha lillahi ma fi samawati wal ard. Wa huwa al azizul hakim. Quran. Quran. 6,666 verses in the Quran. Majority of Quran, my respected brothers, is Dawud. Dawah towards what? Dawah towards the greatness of Allah. Dawah towards the recognition of Allah. Dawah towards realizing who is Allah. Look at the manner in which Allah invites you. Sabbaha lillah ma fis samawati wal ard wa huwa al azizul hakim. Everything in the heavens, everything in the earth is glorifying Allah, is in tasbih of Allah, is in praising Allah. Wa huwa al-azizul hakim. Allah is mighty. Allah is the owner of complete wisdom. Lahu mulku as-samawati wal-ard. The dominion of the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. Yuhyi wa yumeet. Life is in the hands of Allah. Death is in the hands of Allah. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Every power is in the hands of one Allah alone. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. First is Allah, last is Allah, above everything is Allah, concealed from everything is Allah, and He has knowledge of everything. أول is Allah, but such a Allah is the first, but such a first بلا بداية, without a beginning. ليس قبله شيء, there is nothing before Allah. Allah is first, but Allah is free of a beginning. Akhir, Allah is last, Allah is free of an ending. Akhir bila nihaya. This makhluk, creation of Allah, is beset with deficiencies, beset with weaknesses, beset with shortcomings. First weakness, first deficiency, every creation of Allah has a starting point. Every creation of Allah has an end point. Allah is the only being who is free of a beginning, free of an ending. Every creation of Allah has shape, has form, has color, has direction. Allah la yahwihi makan. Allah is free of shape. Allah is free of form. Allah is free of direction. La yashtamilu alayhi zaman. Allah is free of time also. Past tense, present tense, future tense. 1 million years ago now and 1 million years from now is equal to Allah. Ashabi Kahf, famous incident, those youngsters, they went into the cave, they went to sleep. How long can you sleep? 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours? You'll get hungry, back will pain, head will pain. Eventually you'll have to turn. You'll be forced to wake up. You'll want to relieve yourself. They wake up, a conversation occurs. وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا وَبَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. Lengthy ayat, the crux of it. They start discussing, how long was the sleep? Someone said 1 day, someone said a portion of 1 day. What does Quran say? وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا 309 years they slept. 309 years. But what is more interesting, that youngster that went to sleep at the age of 15 wakes up 309 years later. His age is not 324. He's still 15. Why? Because outside the cave, the clock ticked. Inside the cave, Allah stopped time. Time is the makhluk of Allah. Time is the creation of Allah. Allah is above time. Allah has caused this entire creation to be forced to be under the dictate of time. Allah Himself is above time. Day, night, this incessant, constant motion which Quran refers to, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارِ. Day wrapped up into night, night wrapped up into day. Like the mafhum of the riwayat, أَفَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ يُبْلِيَانِ كُلَّ جَدِيدٍ وَيُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدٍ وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ. Why don't you look at the movement of day and night? Yubliyani kulla jadid. Every new thing is made old. Every distant thing is brought near. Ya'tiyani bi kulli maw'ud. Every promise of Allah is made a reality. That which was distant, that which you thought was far off, such is the incessant movement of time that before you realize it is upon you. The child is barely born. People are celebrating. The father visualizes in his mind's eye the day my son will qualify, the day my son will get a degree, the day my son will get married, the day I'll be able to lift my grandchildren in my hand. He's planning, visualizing in his mind's eye how quickly that time comes when the janazah of the same child is lifted up. وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ. This time is that creation of Allah. How many qasams and oaths Allah takes in the Quran on time? Wal fajr, by the qasam of the dawn. Walayalin ashr, by the qasam of the 10 nights. Was subhi, by the qasam of the morning. Was subhi idha tanaffas, by the qasam of the dawn as it takes a breath. Wal layli idha yasr, by the qasam of night as it moves. Wal asr, by the qasam of time itself. Not only does Allah take qasam on time, those portents, those creations of Allah that bring time into existence and by which time is measured, on them also Allah takes qasam. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَا, by the qasam of the sun, by the qasam of the moon, by the qasam of the stars. All these qasams and oaths Allah is taking so that this insan understands that time is a mata'. Time is a valuable possession. Not only is gold and silver and diamonds and oils and minerals and platinum valuable, but more valuable than that, is time. Your coming in this dunya, your inception in this world, is not of your own accord. No one chose, no one decided, I will be born in the 1st century or 10th century or 15th century or 19th century or 20th century. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهَرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Allah says, O insan, did they not pass upon you a period of time? لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. You didn't exist, no one spoke of you. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah took you out of the wombs of your mothers. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You had absolutely no knowledge whatsoever. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاء. Allah fashioned you, perfected you. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. Made you the paragon, the height, the truly resplendent manifestation of His Qudrat in the best of forms. In what condition? In what condition? Fi dhulumatin thalath, in three layers of darkness. Where? Not in a laboratory, not in a controlled environment. Fi butuni ummahatikum, in the womb of your mothers. From what point? Min nutfa. Min nutfa, from a drop of sperm, from najasat, mimma'in mahin, from a drop of worthless fluid, mimma'in dafiq, from a spurt of liquid. Allah took you stage upon stage upon stage. Walaqad khalaqna al-insana min sulalatin min teen, thumma ja'allahu nutfatan fi qararin makin, thumma khalaqna al-nutfata alaqa, fakhalaqna al-alaqata mudgha, fakhalaqna al-mudghata idhama, fakasawna al-idhama lahma, thumma أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٌ. Allah says, we created you from an extract of clay. Then you were made into a drop of sperm in a safe receptacle. From a drop of sperm into a clot of blood. From a clot of blood into a lump of flesh. Stage upon stage upon stage of creation. خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. Till finally, what at one point was a drop of sperm, one cell which could not even be seen by the human eye. You needed a microscope to see it. 9 months later is brought forth 6 billion times bigger, 100 million times heavier. Insan, the paragon of Allah's creation. Fatabarakallah, ahsanul khaliqeen. Blessed is Allah who is the best of creators. Every aspect of your existence, when you were nutfa, no one asked you. When you were alaqa, no one asked you. When you were mudgha, no one asked you. When you were idhama, no one asked you. Not your mother, not your father had any dakhal or any interference. Whether you were sperm, whether you were clot of blood, whether you were lump of flesh, whether bones were given to you, every stage you were totally, completely dependent on the qudrat of one Allah alone. Such a manner Allah manifests His Qudrat. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah says, look within yourself. Recognize the Qudrat of your Allah. You are a living manifestation of Allah's Qudrat. Millions and millions of women in their wombs at one time, a child is being developed, fetus is being developed. Allah's sifat of musawwir, fashioner, is exhibiting itself. Allah's sifat of takhliq, the creator, is exhibiting himself, is exhibiting itself to such perfection that Allah is not inattentive to any of His creation. La tahsabanna Allah ghafila. Allah does not become negligent of any of His creation. Ma kana rabbuka nasiya. Allah does not forget anything. La yadhillu rabbi wala yansa. Allah does not make mistakes. Wa ma hum bimu'jizin. Nothing is beyond the qudrat of Allah. Ahad, samad, alone, whether it is the ant, whether it is Jibreel, whether it is a grain of sand, whether it is the mountain, whether it is a wisp of air, whether it is the tornado, far se lekar arsh tak, from the earth to the arsh of Allah, every creation of Allah, Allah alone is controlling its existence. Each thing measures, put into perfect place and proportion. No one to question, no advice taken, no scientists, no advisors, no ministers. Ahad, samad, alone, totally independent of His creation. La yasta'inu bi shay, He doesn't take help from anything. La yahtaju ila shay, He's not in need of anything. La yaghlibuhu shay, nothing overpowers Him. La yanfa'uhu shay, nothing benefits Him. La yadurruhu shay, nothing harms Him. Qabla kulli shay, He is before everything. Ba'da kulli shay, He is after everything. Fawqa kulli shay, He is above everything. Khaliqu kulli shay, He is the creator of everything. Khabirun bi kulli shay, He is aware of the needs of every of his creation. Latifum bi kulli shay. He is exhibiting his kindness towards every creation. Laysa kamithlihi shay. And there is nothing that is like Allah. Akbar min kulli kabir. Aqwa min kulli qawi. Aaz min kulli aziz. Ajal min kulli jaleel. A'zam min kulli azim. Greater than anything with greatness. More mighty than anything with might. More majestic than anything with majesty. More glorious than anything with glory. He is one Allah alone. Allahu la ilaha illahu. Rabbul mashriqi wal maghrib. La ilaha illahu. Huwa Allahu alladhi. La ilaha illahu. Shahid Allah annahu. La ilaha illahu. Alif lam mim. Allahu la ilaha illahu. Quran again and again sounds out the qibla, rukh, direction of the heart of this insan, the eyes of this insan, the ears of this insan, the mind of this insan, from head to toe has to become one Allah alone. How wide is the space of these eyes? Such a small space. How wide is the space of this nose? How wide is the space of these lips? 6 billion insan, 3 layers of darkness in the womb of the mothers, the lips of no two human beings the same. The eyes of no two human beings the same. The nose of no two human beings the same. The ears of no two human beings the same. In this small space, 6 billion different manifestations of his qudrat. These things can be seen. The voice cannot be seen. The voice of no two human beings the same. The manner in which this insan walks, sometimes in the darkness, just looking at a person walking towards you, that is Abdullah, that is Muhammad, that is Imran, that is my friend, just by the manner he's walking. Why? Because the manner in which the walking occurs also is different. Such ihtiyat, such precaution that no two things the same. Allah is exhibiting his qudrat. This fingerprint, fingertip, how small a space. In that fingertip you can recognize Allah. Put a blindfold on. Feel, fingertip, you are touching a sofa. You've touched the ground. You've touched metal. You've touched steel. You've touched hot. You've touched coal. This fingertip is talking to you. How many countless balances are in place in order for that simple sensation of touch to be experienced by your mind? From one drop of sperm, and everything taken for granted. Touch your mother, different feeling. Touch your father, different feeling. Touch your brother, different feeling. Touch your sister, different feeling. Touch your wife, different feeling. Touch your friend, different feeling. Touch your enemy, different feeling. This fingertip is talking to you. Recognize who is your Allah. Recognize the qudrat of your Allah. Bring forth an example like the qudrat of your Allah. In that small space, 100 different ridges, it is said to find 2 human beings, where 2 out of the 100 are the same. You have to examine 16 people. To find 2 human beings, where 3 of these lines are the same, you have to examine 64 people. To find 2 human beings, where all 100 are the same, you have to examine every human being that will live on the surface of the earth for the next 4 billion years. And 14 centuries ago, this means of identification by way of fingerprint is just 1 century old. It was only recognized by insan 1 century ago in the 19th century in France. Yet 14 centuries ago, Quran calls out, Ayahsabul insan, Allan najma idhama. That, oh insan, what do you think your Allah is? That your Allah is not going to resurrect you? Why? Because at that time they said, "Ainna lamarduduna fil hafira, aida kunna idhaman nakhira." Qalu tilka idhan karratun khasira, hayhata hayhata lima tu'adun, in hiya illa hayatun ad-dunya, namutu wa nahya, wa ma nahnu bimab'uthin. They said, "What are you saying? Atazumu anna rabbaka yuhyi hadhihi wa hiya wa hiya ramim?" As meanwhile comes with some skeletal bones which are turning to dust, flings it in front of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, what are you claiming? Your Rabb is going to give life to this again? Your Rabb is going to resurrect this thing again? They said, go away, all these are lies, tales, fairy tales. It is only this life. We'll go into the ground, get eaten up by the insects. We'll never come back again. Allah says, ayahsabul insan, allan najma idhama. Does insan feel he will not be resurrected? That this life is not an amanat, that every second, every moment of yours in this world is not an amanat, you will not have to give account in the court of Allah for this. Bala, bala, bala. Unfortunately, our munasabat with Arabic is very, very minimal. Our understanding of Quran is minimal. This expression cannot be literally translated. Bala, what does it mean? Tum apne Rab ko kya samajhte ho? What do you think your Allah is? Have you not recognized your Allah? Qadirin, Qadirin, ala an nusawiya banana. Forget resurrecting you. That fingerprint also will be the same. That fingerprint also will be the same. 14 centuries ago, Allah called out to insan, recognize the qudrat and the power of your Allah. Recognize who is your Allah. There is no other purpose. Wallah, my respected brothers, not shop, not job, not degree, not children, not any of what this insan is involving himself in this world and making his goal and his aspiration is the object of this life. There is only one object, and that is to recognize who is Allah. He who has found Allah, he who has recognized Allah, he who has pleased his Allah, if he has nothing of this world, his dunya is made, his qabr is made, his akhirat is made. And if he has not found Allah, he can have the wealth of, he can have the kingdom of Fir'aun, the wealth of Qarun, have the kingdom and rulership of Namrud, make whatever claims he wants. Alaysa li mulku misra wa hadhihi al-anhar tajri min tahti. He can have the kingdom of Egypt, rivers and streams flowing underneath his feet. He can have a palatial home. He can have servants running at his beck and call. But if he has not found Allah, if he has not recognized Allah, wallah, his dunya is destroyed, his qabr is destroyed, his everlasting life of hereafter is destroyed. This life is an amanat. This time, each one did not come of his own accord. No one chose when he will come. And wallah, no one will choose. No one has chosen when he will leave also. وَلَكُمْ مِعَادُ يَوْمْ لَا تَسْتَأْخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَاعَةُ وَلَا تَسْتَقْدِمُونَ Quran calls out to you that, O insan, realize there is a promised time. There is a promised time. La tastakhiruna anhu sa'atu wa la tastaqdimun. When that time comes for you to leave this world, nothing and no system in this world is going to delay it even by 1 second. Everything will have to be left behind. Wa idha al-maniyyatu anshabat adfaraha. Al-fayta kulla tamimatin la tanfa'u. Like the poet says, When moth bears its claws, when death bears its claws. Sometimes the fools, what they say, I got saved from the jaws of death. I was lucky, my life got saved. By Bewakuf, you didn't get saved. Death didn't even bear its claws. It wasn't your time. When death will bear its claws, then that motor car accident, or that fall, or that pain in your chest, that is just an excuse. That is just an excuse. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Each one will drink from the cup of death on the time that Allah has decided. Aina ma takunu yudrikkumul maut walau kuntum fi burujin mushayyada. Wherever you are, run wherever you want, hide wherever you want, on its appointed time, maut will find you. Time, my respected brothers, is a mata, is a precious possession. You have your bank vaults to hide and to protect your rands and dollars. You have your deposit box to keep your jewelry. But this mata, this greatest of possessions, where are you going to hide it? How are you going to stop the ticking of the clock that tick, 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 tick? That each time that breath comes out, wallah, no force or system in this world is ever going to give it back to you again. Like the poet says, Inna lanafrahu bil ayami naqta'uha wa kulla yawmin madha yudni min al ajali fa'mal li nafsika qabla al mawt mujtahidan fa innama al ribhu wal khusran fil amali nujaddid sururan bil hilali idha bada wa ma hiya illa al sayf lil hatf yantadhi. He says, oh foolish insan, you become happy with the passage of time. Why are you celebrating birthday? It's my birthday. Why are you celebrating? It is New Year. So bust a few crackers, revelry, sharab like water, music blaring in different directions. What are you doing? Celebrating New Year. Inna lanafrahu bil ayami naqta'uha. He says, foolish insan, you celebrate with the passage and movement of time. وكل يوم مضى يدني من الأجل. Little do you realize that every passing day is taking you closer to your mort. Each milestone which is demarcating the progress of your life is not progress, it is retrogression. You are going closer and closer and closer to your qabr. فَعْمَلْ لِنَفْسِكَ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ مُجْتَهِدًا. So realize the value of this time. Realize the value of this life. This life is not there to be spent. This life Allah has given us to make. Yeh zindagi guzarne ke liye nahi hai, yeh zindagi banane ke liye hai bhai. Don't while away this time, make this time. Hours and hours reading a frivolous novel. Hours and hours in front of the shaitan box. Hours and hours anticipating 22 people who for 1 month or more will chase behind a piece of pigskin. Hours and hours wasted away. Not 1 second is coming back. Where is the value of time? Where is the realization of this mata, of this ni'mat which Allah has given? فَعْمَلْ لِنَفْسِكَ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ مُجْتَهِدًا. So he says, exert yourself before mort comes. In what? Not in gathering the material things of this world. In a'mal, in pleasing Allah Ta'ala. فَإِنَّمَا الرِّبْحُ وَالْخُسْرَانُ فِي الْعَمَلِ. Because profit and loss is not dependent on your bank balance. Profit and loss is not what you have achieved of the material things of this world. Wallah, the progress and retrogression of no insan or creation or human being in this world will ever be measured in terms of material possessions. Abu al-Itahiya, rahmatullahi alayhi, on one occasion Mamun al-Rashid invites him. Mamun al-Rashid, Khalifa, ruling 3 continents. He builds a palatial home, a hallmark, a testimony to his achievement. This is what I have spent my life in. Come see now what I have achieved. He shows him this palatial home. Says to him, what do you think of it? Expecting to be heaped with praise. Look at the reaction of this pious person. He says, عِشْمَا بَدَالَكَ السَّالِمًا فِي ظِلِّ شَاهِقَةِ الْقُصُورِ يُسْعَى عَلَيْكَ بِمَشْتَهِيْتَ لَدَ الرَّوَاحِ وَفِي الْبُكُورِ. He says, enjoy yourself. While away the valuable and precious moments of your life in the deceptive protection of these huge pillars. Morning and evening servants are running at your beck and call. What they call it, red light brigade or blue light, I don't know what the term is. Move out, cavalcade is coming. Somebody important is coming. Real importance, my respected brothers, we'll find when we go into the qabr. Is that qabr a garden from the gardens of Jannat or is it a pit from the pits of Jahannam? Then whether it's a minister or whether it's a prime minister or whether it's a pauper, the real value will be understood. يُسْعَى عَلَيْكَ بِمَشْتَهَيْتَ لَذَا الرَّوَاحِ وَفِي الْبُكُورِ. O Mamun, do not be deceived by these servants who are running at your beck and call. Morning till night, your whims and desires are being fulfilled. But know and understand, all this wealth at your possession, this huge palace, all these servants, your bank vault, your treasuries brimming with gold and diamonds will not delay the onset of time. That will not stop the clock. فَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ تَقَعْقَعَتْ فِي ضِيقِ حَشْرَجَةِ السُّدُورِ. The day is coming when your heart will start fluttering and palpitating in the depths of your chest. That burning pain will run down your left hand. On a cold day, your forehead, your brow will break out into cold beads of perspiration. فَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ تَقَعْقَعَتْ فِي ذِيقِ حَشْرَجَةِ السُّدُورِ فَهُنَاكَ تَعْلَمْ مُوقِنَا. At that time you will know with absolute conviction, مَا كُنْتَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورِ. All these material things in front of me of this world was nothing but a deception. That youngster with his Ray-Bans on, with that gold necklace around his neck, with that gold ring on his fingers, stands in front of that mirror, admiring himself, looking from this direction, that direction, latest crew haircut or whatever haircut, That young girl admiring, preening herself, the twinkle of her eyes, the light of her eyes were compared with the twinkling of stars. The bloom of her cheeks compared with the bloom of roses. She thinks she is the Zulekha of this time, looking from this direction, from that direction. But what are you going to do about the ticking of the clock? It's only a few moons. Only a few moons. All the cosmetic surgery and this skin treatment and that skin treatment is not going to delay the onset of old age. That which Quran calls your attention to, Allah calls out, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. He who we took to old age, we bring a reverse in his creation. Why don't you understand? Ye dunya chor dene wali jaha hai, rehne wali jaha nahi hai. Why don't you understand? You have to leave this dunya. You are not going to stay here. Just a few moons, it will be that same young girl. Now she won't even want to look into the mirror. Those same blooming cheeks, eventually they will become the food and fodder of insects. Those same eyes which were shining like stars, insects and worms will be walking through those eyes. Don't look at the rising sun, look at the setting sun. Don't go to the places of merriment and music. Go to the Qabristan and the graveyard. Don't listen to the singing and the praises of naked people. Go to the homes where those fathers are crying when the janazas of their sons are being lifted up. Go to the homes when the mothers are crying when the janazas of their sons are being lifted up. Go to the homes of those widows who are wailing the loss of their husbands. This dunya is a deception. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah who has created this dunya says the life of this world is nothing but deception. فَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ تَقَاقَعَتْ فِي ضِيقِ حَشْرَجَةِ الصُّدُورِ. When that palpitating starts, O Mamun al-Rashid, in the depths of your chest, فَهُنَاكَ تَعْلَمْ مُوقِنَا مَا كُنْتَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورِ. At that time you will know with absolute conviction that the life of this world was nothing but a deception. Muharram has come. A new year has come. But our new year is not like the new year of others, where it's a period of revelry, where it's a period of merriment, where it's a period of celebration. Muharram brings with it ibrat. Muharram brings with it lesson. We have to take lesson. What direction is my life going? Another 360 odd days has passed. Is my Allah pleased with me? I am gone so much closer to my qabr. Have I realized the object and direction of my life? For the others it's celebration. For the others it is wine and merriment. For the others it is music. But for this believer, this reciter of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, every year in Muharram we are reminded. It was the first of Muharram that personality whom Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Allahumma a'izzal Islam bi ahadil amarain. O Allah, give Islam strength, give Islam dignity, give Islam honor through one of the two Umars. One Umar referring to Abu Jahl, the other Umar, Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. In one riwayat it comes that my personal choice will be Umar bin Khattab. Khassatan. That, oh Allah, let it be Umar bin Khattab. It wasn't long, the incident is lengthy. No time to go into the details, but it wasn't long after this dua that Umar who had raised his sword, na'uzubillah, to behead Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, presents himself in Darul Alqam. As he enters, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, Ama ana laka an tashhad an la ilaha illallah, Umar? Umar, has not the time come for you to bring iman in Allah? He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He brings iman on Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel presents himself. Sahaba, when they hear his shahadat, Allahu Akbar, takbir resounds in Makkah. Jibreel presents himself, O Nabi of Allah. O Nabi of Allah, are you happy with the Islam of Umar? Nabi Islam says, yes, we are happy with the Islam of Umar. Jibreel says, the Malaika of Allah also celebrating the Islam of Umar. Such a personality. Such a personality that Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Lo kana ba'di nabiyun lakana Umar. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. Khalifa ruling 2,200,000 square miles. That was the extent of the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Bring a parable, bring an example in the annals of history. Ruler of 2,200,000 square miles, yet he is sweeping the masjid. Bring an example, ruler of such a vast kingdom, yet he is carrying the leather bag with water on his back at night. Sahaba asked him, Amirul Mu'mineen, where are you going? He says, so and so widow, there is no one to see to her, I am taking this water to her home. Bring an example of parable in the annals of history, such a vast kingdom, sleeping underneath a tree at night, no bodyguard. These foolish politicians, this cavalcade, that cavalcade, millions spent to protect them from what? From their own lies. No bodyguard, no one to see. Why? Such conviction on Allah. He rushes out one night. Ahnaf bin Qais meets him. Amirul Mu'mineen, what happened? He says, a camel from Baytul Mal has gone missing. Camel has gone missing. Help me to look for it. I don't know how many Muslims' share is in that camel. If that camel is lost, what answer is Umar going to give in the court of Allah? One sitting in Masjid an-Nabawi crying, and he says, if a dog dies on the banks of the river Dajla, Allah is going to question Umar about it. These were those who took their tarbiyat, their nurturing at the feet of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. These were those who took to heart the cry and the pain of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That the leader of Yamama, Hakam bin Kaysan, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving him da'wat. Bring Iman, Allah will save you from Jahannam. Finally, Umar gets frustrated. Da'ni adrib unuqahu wa yadhhab ila ummihi al-hawiya. O Nabi of Allah, give me permission, I'll take his head off and let him go to his abode. Referring to the verse of the Quran, hawiya wa ma adraka mahiya narun hamiya, where Allah says, blazing fire. Let me take off his head and he can go to Jahannam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ignores Umar, continues giving da'wah to Hakam bin Kaysan until finally he recites shahadat of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Then he looks at Umar, Lo ata'tu fika al-an ladakhala an-nar. Umar, if I had listened to you, this ummati of mine would have gone to Jahannam. They took their tarbiyat from the master's feet himself, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that in his khilafat, amongst the Arab tribes, those who became murtad at the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every one of them came back to Islam besides the Banu Ghassan tribe. The leader of the Banu Ghassan tribe, Jabal bin Ayham, he flees from Syria to Istanbul. Finally, the king of Rome gives him protection and gives him honor and status. Why? Because he had become murtad. So he was a friend of his enemies. Umar sends a delegation to Jabal bin Ayham to call him back to Islam. That delegation meets him. He says, I will accept on two conditions. What are your two conditions? He says, first condition, Umar must give me his daughter in nikah. Second condition, Umar must give me the khilafat, make me the khalifa. They say, the first one we know, Umar's desire for hidayat, Umar will give you his daughter. Khilafat, that we cannot respond, that depends on mashwara, we have to go back. When the delegation returns and they give this karguzari to Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he bursts into tears. Why didn't you give him the khilafat also? He would have been saved from Jahannam. Go back to him now. More than a month's journey. Go back to him and offer him the khilafat also. As they are reaching the city, when janaza is coming out, the taqdeer of Allah becomes ghalib. They ask whose janaza it is. It is Jabala bin Ayham. He dies on kufr. But such was the hirs, such was the desire, such was the talab for hidayat that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instilled in one ummati. Each one understood, we have been sent, selected and chosen by Allah to turn the hearts of humanity towards Allah. Everything was given for this. Ruler of 2,200,000 square miles, yet he would eat meat once a month only. 14 patches on his clothing. Once he is sitting on the minbar of Masjid al-Nabawi, in front of him is Sahaba. He addresses them and he says, "Inna fi jannati adn, inna fi jannati adn qasrun lahu 500 bab ala kulli babin 5,000 min al-hur al-'ain." He says, "In Jannatul Firdaus, in Jannatul Firdaus, there is a palace which has 500 doors. At every door are 5,000 of the hoors of Jannat. 2.5 million hoors, women of such indescribable beauty. Quran, Quran, Allah says, كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانُ حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ مُتَحَبِّبَاتٌ مُتَعَشِّقَاتٌ. Hadith, height of lovingness, height of ishq and muhabbat, from the toenail to the knee, from the toenail to the knee is made out of saffron, from the knee to the chest out of musk, from the chest to the neck out of amber, from the neck to the top of the head out of camphor, then the hair flowing right down to the feet, long strands of hair scattered with pearls inside. Janabi Rasulullah ﷺ said, each of those pearls more valuable than all the gold and diamonds of the world put together. If one strand of hair had to come into this world, the entire world will become fragrant. If she had to speak to a dead man, that dead man will come to life. If she had to speak to a living person, his liver will split. If she had to spit, لو بسخت الحوراء في سبعة أبحر لمزجت الماء من عذوبة فمها. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if she had to spit, in Jannat there is no spitting. Why? Because saliva is looked down upon. But hypothetically, if they were spitting and she had to spit, such is the sweetness of her mouth that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the seven oceans of the world will become sweet. Each time she walks, in the sway of her hips, there will be 100,000 different suggestions and invitations towards ecstasy. In aqbalat or adbarat, wa hiya muqbila, whether she's walking towards you or away from you, she will still be looking at you. Such a jannat, leave jannatul firdaus, the lowest jannati, will be from the Juhayna tribe. Finally, after years and years and years and years in Jahannam, finally, when he will come out, in front of him will be the manzar of Jannat. He will say it, Ya Rabbi, adkhilni hadhal bab. Oh my Allah, let me enter into this door. Let me enter into this Jannat. Allah Ta'ala will say to him, La'alli idh adkhaltuka tas'alni ghayra. If I let you enter, you're going to ask me for more. He says, wa izzatika wa jalalik, wa izzatika wa jalalik, in adkhaltani la as'aluka ghayra. By the qasam of your izzat and your jalal, if you let me enter into this jannat, I won't ask you anything more. Fayuftahu lahu albab, the door will open, he will enter into jannat. Indescribable beauty, indescribable favors and ni'mats, ma la aynun ra'at, wa la udhunun samiat, wa la khatar ala qalbi bashar, that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined. He will be enjoying himself, and then another door will open. When he looks at that door, فَيَسْتَحْقِرُ فِي عَيْنِهِ الَّذِي هُوَ فِيهِ, what he is enjoying now will appear to be insignificant. Ya Rabbi, adkhilni hadha al-bab. Oh Allah, let me enter that bar. Let me enter that door. Allah will say, did you not tell me that if I let you enter the first door, you won't ask for anything else? He will say, wa izzatika wa jalalik. Wa izzatika wa jalalik in adkhaltani. La asaluka ghayra. By the qasam of your izzat and your jalal, if you let me enter this door, I won't ask you anything else. Allah will let him enter. He will enjoy himself and then another door will open. Again he will say, Ya Rabbi, let me enter that door. Four times this will happen. Four times this will happen till finally when he enters into his Jannat, he will see one person coming towards him with such nur, such effulgence, such light that he will fall into sajda. That person will address him, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? He will say, are you not my Allah? Are you not my Allah? Such light, such effulgence, such beauty, such magnificence, are you not my Allah? This person will say, innama ana qahruman. I am one servant of yours. Like me, there are 1,000 servants that are looking after your 1,000 palaces. Between each palace is a distance of 1 year. Yura adnaha, kama yura aqsaha. He will see the 1,000th palace as he will see the first palace. Everything will be in front of him. Lowest jannati. He will be sitting with his wife from amongst the hura'een, from amongst the maidens of Jannat. He will ask her, give me a goblet of wine. She will turn around to bring the goblet of wine. When he looks up, he will be surprised and astonished. He will say, Allah's qasam, you have become 70 times more beautiful. She will say, Allah's qasam, you also have become 70 times more beautiful. Such a jannat, this is the lowest jannati. Umar bin Khattab says, Jannatul Firdaus, the highest jannat, one palace, 500 doors, 5,000 hura'een at each door. Then he says, Allah has prepared this jannat, lin nabi, for a nabi. He looks at the grave of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, Hani an laka ya sahib ahad al qabr, Mubarak to you, glad tidings to you, O resident of this grave. And then he says, Walis Siddiq. Allah has prepared this jannat for a Siddiq. Then he looks at the grave of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says, Hani an laka ya sahib ahad al qabr, Mubarak, glad tidings to you, a resident of this grave. And then he says, Wali shaheed, one who has given his life in the path of Allah, for him also Allah has prepared this jannat. And then Umar. Who is Umar? That personality. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, In his Hajjatul Wada, he addresses his Sahaba that today on the plains of Arafat, Allah is making fakhr, Allah is boasting about my Sahaba in front of his Malaika, and Allah is especially boasting about Umar bin Khattab. One occasion he enters the masjid, right hand side Abu Bakr, left hand side Umar. He takes the hand of both of them and he addresses Sahaba, Hakadha Nuhsharu Yawm al Qiyamah. On the day of judgment, we will rise up exactly like this. That personality, basharat upon basharat, glad tidings upon glad tidings, yet what is the desire in the heart? Anna laka shahada ya Umar. 2,200,000 square miles kingdom, 4,000 jami' masjids had been established in his khalifat, in his khilafat. Such a mighty ruler, vast kingdom in front of him. The wealth of the Persian and the Romans empire brought to the feet of the Muslims in his khilafat. The wealth of Ali Sasan, of Rumatul Kubra, pouring into Medina Munawwara. At the seat of such a khilafat, what is the desire of Umar? Anna laka shahada ya Umar. Umar, how is it possible that you also will get your life accepted in the path of Allah? How can that happen for you also? Then he takes himmat and strength and courage and he says, Inna alladhi qadirun ala an yukhrijani min hijratil makkah min makkata ila hijratil madina qadirun ala an yasuqa ilayya shahada. That Allah who has the qudrat and the power to take a shepherd to take a shepherd Umar and make him the Khalifa and give him the tawfiq to make hijrat from Makkah to Medina. The same Allah can give shahadat to Umar in Medina. And it was the 26th of Zilhijjah that Firoz Abu Lulu Mal'oon, that fire worshipper, pierces the dagger into the stomach of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu whilst he is leading the Fajr Salah in Jamaat. Next few days he is suffering. Once Ali radiallahu anhu comes into his room, Umar is crying. Umar, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Are you afraid of death? He says, no Ali, I am not afraid of death. I am afraid of having to give account in the court of Allah. Ali says to him, Ama basharaka Rasulullah bikada? Ama basharaka Rasulullah bikada? Did not Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam give you this basharat and this basharat and this basharat? He says, Allah's qasam, I cannot remember how many times I heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, Abu Bakr and Umar will be the leader of the old people of Jannah. Umar says, will you give testimony in Allah's court? Ali says, I will give testimony and my son Hassan also will give testimony. When that hour draws close for Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to make parda from this world, his head is lying on the lap of his son, Abdullah bin Umar. He says to him, place my head on the ground. Place my head on the ground. Finally, his son relents. And he places the head of Umar radiallahu anhu on the ground. Umar radiallahu anhu begins wiping his face with the dust of the ground of Medina. Waylun laka ya Umar. Waylun laka ya Umar. Illam yaghfir laka rabbuk. Umar, if Allah does not forgive you, then halakat and destruction lies in front of you. They never became complacent. They never took their iman and their deen and their qurbani for granted. He says, Allah's qasam, if Allah had given me the wealth of the entire world, I would give all this as ransom to be spared from having to give hisab and reckoning in the court of Allah. In this condition, he leaves the world, and it is the first of Muharram that the body of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is lowered into the ground, so that every year with the onset of the new year, this ummah is reminded of the dastan and legacy of qurbani and sacrifice that was given for the deen of Allah. Muharram also brings the reminder of those 16 flowers, Ali Rasul, direct descendants of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who laid down their lives for the sake of haq, for the sake of truth. The beloved grandson of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha gives birth to Hassan, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes. He says, Fatima, what name have you kept? She says, I kept the name Harb. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no, Fatima, this son of mine, his name is Hassan. 11 months later, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu is born. Again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks the question, what name have you kept? She says, Harb. He says, no, Fatima, this son of mine, his name is Hussein. Warikhin say that prior to this, Allah had concealed these two names from the hearts of humanity, so that the first two personalities to be given these names, Hassan and Hussein, were given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his grandchildren. Such love he had for them. One occasion, Buraydah radiallahu ta'ala who says, كَانَ يَخْتُبُنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving khutbah in Masjid al-Nabawi. إِذْ جَاءَ الْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنُ عَلَيْهِمَا قَمِيصَانَ أَحْمَرَانَ يَمْشِيَانَ وَيَعْثُرَانَ. He says, these two babies wearing red striped clothing like shining moons entered the masjid. They were so small, they were walking and falling down, walking and falling down. As they came towards the mimbar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw them. He interrupted the khutbah, got down off the minbar, picked them up, brought them onto his lap. Then he addressed sahaba, sadaqa, sadaqallah. May Allah spoke the truth. Innama amwalukum wa uladukum fitna. Your wealth and your children are a test for you. May Allah spoke the truth. I saw my two babies coming towards me. Falan asbir. I could not hold myself back. I could not hold myself back until I interrupted the khutbah and until I picked them up. One occasion, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, carrying on one shoulder Hassan, the other shoulder Hussein, yalthimu hadha marratan, wa hadha marratan, kissing this one, kissing that one, intermittently showing pyar and muhabbat towards both of them. One Bedouin amongst the Arabs, this was regarded, they couldn't understand showing such love to children. He couldn't believe it. He says, what are you doing, O Nabi of Allah? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam then makes dua. He says, he addresses Sahaba. He says, these are my grandchildren. They are my children also. Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma. Oh Allah, I love them. Fa'ahibbahuma. You also love them. Wahbib man ahabbahuma. And love those who love them. One riwayat it comes, he said, Allahumma inni uhibbu Husaynan fa'ahibbahu. He said, oh Allah, I love Hussein. You also love him. He who loves Hussein loves me. He who hates Hussein radiallahu anhu hates me. Such love he had. Yet in one riwayat it comes, Umme Salima radiallahu ta'ala anha. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her, Ista'adana malakul matar. The angel of rain has sought permission to come and see me. So I want you to stand guard. This is the first time this angel has come. He will be in private communion with me. No one should enter. She says, I stood at the door of the house. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to this angel inside the house. Idh ja' al-Husayn. Husayn radiallahu anhu came, small boy. He saw Umm Salima standing at the door. Exuberance of youth. He runs, jumps over a hen till he goes inside the house. She says, a little while later, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sobbing. I ran into the house. I said, Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? She says, when I entered the house, I saw him sobbing, clinging and holding Hussein radiallahu ta'ala to his chest, sobbing relentlessly. Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? He says, O Umm Salima, O Umm Salima, this angel of Allah has informed me that my son, my grandson, will be killed by my ummah. And the sand of the place where he will be killed has been shown to me. Yet he did not make dua to Allah. He did not make dua to Allah. What was the difficulty? He could have made dua to Allah to spare his family from qurbani and sacrifice. But this ummah has left behind it a dastan, a legacy of qurbani and sacrifice. 61st year of hijrah. It was a Friday, the 10th of Muharram. When 72, 16 of them, Ali Rasul, direct descendants of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallah, Allah's Qasam. This is that family, my respected brothers. Ahle Bayt, the direct descendants of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such is their martaba. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, an alim of the 5th century of Islam, narrates the incident in his Kitab al-Birri wa Sila, that there was one woman from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 5th century of Islam. Her husband passed away. Poverty overtook her. She and her small children, they made hijrat from Khurasan to Samarkand. When they went to Samarkand, they went to the leader of Samarkand and they said, we are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are destitute. Assist us. He said, everyone comes here and says that they're from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring a proof. Show me some proof. She goes away. She's sitting in the courtyard of the masjid. Someone comes to her, seeing her pitiable condition, tells her there is one Majusi, one fire worshipper. He is very generous, go to him. She goes. That night, the wali of Samarkand, the ruler of Samarkand, sees in his dream a beautiful palace in Jannat made out of green emeralds. Standing at the entrance of that palace is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He tries to enter. He comes forward and he says, O Nabi of Allah, whose palace is this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, this is the palace of a mu'min, of a reciter of kalima, of my ummati. This wali of Samarkand says, I am your ummati. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, bring proof. Bring proof that you are my ummati. My daughter came to you. You asked her for proof. Now you bring proof also. He wakes up, shocked, worried, makes inquiries. Where is that family? Finds out they're the home of that fire worshipper. He runs to that person and he says, give me that family. Give me that family. This fire worshipper looks at the governor of Samarkand and he says that this trade, this transaction, after seeing cannot take place. Ask me anything else, I will give you, but this family I will not give you. He says, they are believers, we are Muslims. You are a fire worshipper. I have more right to them. He says, no, no sooner had I opened my door, no sooner had I opened my door to this family, Allah gave me and my entire family iman. And that same dream that you were seeing, I also saw that same dream. You were turned away from that palace. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, this palace belongs to you and your family, and Allah from azal has destined that you will have iman. That family, yet despite lineage, this ummat is taught the sabak. Then in the court of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, lineage can go, family can go, home can go, everything can go, but my Allah has to be pleased. Right hand side flag bearer, Zuhair bin Qain, left hand side flag bearer, Khabib bin Mutahhir, the one who held the flag in the center, Abbas his brother. By the time on Friday, the time of Zohar had come, or Jummah had come, 20 of them had already become shaheed. There were 52 left. He says to Habib bin Mutahhir, go to Shimr and request him to halt the battle. Halt the battle so that we can say our salah. In that condition also, the salah was not made qaza. Already that previous day, on Thursday night, he had dozed off. All of a sudden, he woke up smiling. Zuhair bin Qain said to him, that, oh Hussein, oh grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you smiling? He says, I saw a dream. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me. And he said to me, that, oh my grandson, I have come to take you. The time for you to come back to us is near. He had already received the basharat of Jannat. What harm was there to make that salah qaza? Shimr responds that telling him his salah is not accepted. Khabib bin Mutahhir says, mal'oon, that family through which we got salah, their salah is not accepted. Your salah is accepted. He comes back with a message, they will not hold the battle. He divides his companions, 26, 26. 26 in front, facing the enemy. The other 26 perform their salah. And then they change over. Water had been cut off. Perhaps the wudu of that salah was made with their own blood. That sajda of that salah, it is doubtful whether till qiyamah any sajda like that will ever be made. Yet even in that condition, the salah was not made qaza. The college student of today, for some exam, makes his salah qaza. The businessman today, Christmas rush, salah is qaza. 95% of the believing ummah today is away from the masjid. We have become a ritualistic ummah. Ashura celebration, big night, we come together in the masjid. Occasionally, we are coming closer, year in, year out. Muharram comes year in, year out. But who is there that has made tawbah? Who is there that has taken the sabak and lesson and ibrat? What answer are we going to give in the court of Allah? That salah is carried out. Finally, one by one had become shaheed. Only him was left. His entire family around him. Each time he would lift the body, he would say, Ilhaq bi abaika salihin. Go and meet your pious forefathers who have left you already. His little baby Abdullah, he sends for him. As he picks the child up, Ibn al-Muwaqqit's arrow comes and severs the head of the child. Even in that condition, he looks up to the heaven and he says, Oh my Allah, Oh my Allah, Oh my Allah, even if in this condition you have withheld your help, Oh my Allah, if you are happy with me, then I accept whatever condition I am in. Finally, he also is beheaded. They gave their lives, but they lived. Others took position, took status, took kingdom, took thrones, but they died until Qiyamah they are cursed. Such was the manzar and scene of Karbala that Zainab, the sister of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as the kafla of the women folk are being taken away as prisoners, she turns around and she sees the remains. And she utters those words, Ya Muhammada, Ya Muhammada, Salla alayka al-ilah, wa malaku al-sama, hadha Husaynun bil-ara, muzammilun bil-dima, muqatta'u al-a'adha. Ya Muhammada, Ya Muhammada, banatuka al-sabaya, wa dhurriyatuka muqattala, tasfi alayha al-saba. He says, Oh my grandfather, Oh my grandfather, Ya Rasulullah, may Allah's mercy descend upon you. May the angels of Allah continue making salawat upon you. Look at your grandson Hussein. Hada Husaynun bil ara, muzammilun bid dima, covered in his blood, muqatta'ul a'dha, with the limbs of his body severed. Oh my grandfather, your daughters have become prisoners. Your little babies have been slaughtered. Look at Jafar, look at Aun, look at Abbas, look at Muhammad. Your babies have been slaughtered and there is no one to even bury them. The raging winds of Karbala has become their qabr. Tasfi alayha saba. These words, Mu'arrikheen write, Ibn Kasir rahmatullahi alayhi mentions the riwayat, Abkat kulla aduwin wa saduq. Even the enemies started crying. Such was the heart-rending words that were uttered by Zainab radiallahu anha. But like this, my respected brothers, Karbalas have occurred throughout the annals of the history of this ummah. In order to remind this ummah once again, over and over again, that their ummah, ye dunya chor dene wali jaha hai, that this world has to be left behind. We haven't come for this dunya, we have come for akhirat. Through these Karbalas, the drought and the dried gardens of the hearts of the ummah will be revived. And through that blood that was spilt by the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the salaf salihin striving in the path of Allah, that blood is the water that has watered the gardens of hidayat throughout the ages. That blood was not spilt in vain. We are not an ummah that is a seasonal ummah. We have to take sabak and lesson that even if it is the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the command of Allah can never be sacrificed. In his cradle, when he was a baby already, the basharat of Jannat was given. Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah, leaders of the youth of Jannat, Al-Hasan and Husayn. Yet still Qurbani was given. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Medina, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, last night in a dream, Allah took me to Jannat. I saw a palace made out of rubies, emeralds, sapphires. I asked the malaika, whose palace is this? They said, it is the palace innahu lifatam min Quraysh. It is a Qurayshi youngster's palace. Fadhanantu annahu li. I thought it was my palace. I wanted to enter. They said, no, O Nabi of Allah, this is the palace of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Basharat was given, yet they never took it for granted. Muharram has come. Our new year has come. This is not a time of celebration. This is a time of reflection. This is a time of ibrat. This is a time when this ummah has to be reminded of that oath, of that covenant which Quran speaks of. Minal mu'minina rijal. Minal mu'minina rijalun sadaku ma'ahadullah alayhi. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Quran speaks of only two groups. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ. Amongst the believers are men. They have fulfilled the covenant of Allah. They have taken the oath of allegiance with Allah. Some have fulfilled the oath. Some are waiting to fulfill the oath. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They will never shift from this. Where does our Islamic calendar start? Where does Muharram start? What is that incident? What is that incident which took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that brought about the starting of the Islamic calendar? 13 years in Makkah Mukarrama, 10 to 10 in Mina. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, person to person, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. Say لا إله إلا الله and you will be successful. Say لا إله إلا الله and you will be successful. One youngster says, I stood on the mountain of Abu Qubais and I looked down at Mina and I saw this solitary person going from person to person. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَفَلَ فِي وَجْهِ. Some of them spat in his face. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَتَى عَلَيْهِ التُّرَابِ. Some of them picked up sand and they flung it at him. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ سَبَّ عَلَى وَجْهِ. They swore him. They scoffed him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. Yet relentlessly, he went person to person, حَتَّى انْتَصَفَ النَّهَارِ, until half the day had passed. The sun was at its zenith, boiling heat bearing down. He sat down in exhaustion. He says, I saw a young girl, Jariyatun Wadiyah, a beautiful young girl, running towards him, crying, sobbing. She took a handkerchief. She started wiping away the dust from his face. He looked at her and he said, La takhshay ala abikil ghayla. Do not fear. Allah will not disgrace your father. He says, I asked my father, who is that person? My father told me, that is Muhammad bin Abdullah. That is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that young girl is his daughter Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. Relentlessly, 10 to 10, person to person. On one occasion, he goes to the Banu Hanifa tribe in Mina. He gives them da'wat. They pick up stones and start flinging it at him. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to run. He goes to the Banu Amr bin Sa'sa to take refuge. Gives them da'wat. They say, we like your message, but we have to wait and make mashura with our leader, Buhayra. Buhayra comes. They say, this person is that Qurayshi youngster. This is his message. Buhayra looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with such hatred and anger. He says, if my people had not given you refuge instead of with my tongue, I would have spoken to you with my sword. Get away from here. Heartbroken. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mounts his camel. As he is about to leave, Buhayra comes from behind, takes his sword, pierces it into the flank of the camel. The camel jerks, and the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is flung back onto the ground. His body full of dust, people around him laughing openly. He didn't need to raise his hands, wallah, wallah, if just from the heart, that baddua, that curse had come out, Allah would have wiped the ground of Mina, of insan, and sucked them into the earth. Nuh alayhi salam made dua, Rabbi la tadhar ala al-ardi min al-kafirina dayyara. Oh my Rabb, wipe the earth free of the kuffar. He made dua, the floods came. Yet Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, such a personality, such a Nabi, that in Taif, 3 miles pelted. So that eventually the skin splits open, the blood is pouring down. Scoffed at, mocked at, ridiculed. The angels of Allah come. O Nabi of Allah, give the command. Give the command. What dua he makes? Ilayka ashku dha'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nas. Ila man takiluni ila aduwin yatajahhamuni am ila ba'idin mallaktahu amri in lam takun sakhitan 'alayya fala ubali. He says, oh my Allah, to whom have you handed me over? To those who have ridiculed and done this to me? It is the weakness of my strength. It is the lack of my planning. Oh my Allah, if you are not angry with me, then I accept whatever you have decided. This call reaches the arsh of Allah. Angel comes, give the command. We will crush the people of Taif. Yet, what is his pain? What is his cry? What is his concern for humanity? If my daughters have to be given talaq, let them be given talaq. If my grandchildren have to be slaughtered, let them be slaughtered. If my uncle's body has to be desecrated, let it happen. If two stones have to be tied on my stomach, let it happen. If my wives have to go hungry so that for 3 months the stove is not lit in my house, let that also happen. If one by one my sahaba have to lay down their lives, my close companions have to lay down their lives, let that happen also. But this humanity, this insaniyat, like droves that are going towards Jahannam, must be safe from Jahannam and go to Jannah. Oh my Allah, do not do this, do not do this. If they don't accept, at least their progeny might accept. Allahumma hdi qawmi, fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people, give them hidayat because they don't know what they are doing. Relentlessly, year in, year out in Mina, may yuwini, may ansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata rabbi. Who is there that will shelter me? Who will become my helper so that I can make tabligh of this deen? Finally, in the 11th year, 6 people come from Yathrib, which later came to be known as Madina Munawwara. Abul Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, Saad bin Rabi', Nu'man bin Haritha, Abdullah bin Rawaha, and Asad bin Zurara radiallahu ta'ala anhum. 6 people come. Following year, 12 people. 13th year, 72 people. 70 men and 2 women. They come to take an oath of allegiance in Aqaba in Mina. Before they take that oath, Abbas bin Nadala cautions them. Hal tadarun ala ma tubayi'una hadha ar-rajul tubayi'unahu ala harb al-ahmar wal aswad min an-nas. That, O people of Medina, O people of Yathrib, let me caution you. Idha unhikat amwalukum musiba wa ashrafukum qatla. I'm cutting the incident very short, the crux of what he said. He said, before you take this oath, before you take this oath, know and understand what you are doing. It is not a possibility. It is not a likelihood. It is an absolute certainty that when you place your hand in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire world will declare war on you. Your elderly people will be slaughtered. Your homes will be destroyed. Your women will become widows. Your children will become orphans. The streets of Medina will flow with your blood and you will become poor. Your dunya will be given. Everything like this will happen to you. It is not a possibility. It is an absolute certainty. So be cautioned and warned before you take this oath. One by one, without hesitation, they said, Ubsud yadaka ya Rasulullah. Stretch out your hand, O Nabi of Allah. And one by one, they took this oath of allegiance that everything can go. Our home can go. Medina can go. Our elderly ones can go. Our wealth can go. Our women can become widows. Our children can become orphans. But the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come alive. Insaniyat will give hidayat. Insan, this humanity will be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannat. One by one they took this oath. That was the foundation of Hijrat. And on that Hijrat, Muharram came. On that Hijrat, the Islamic calendar started. So that every year in Muharram, this ummah is reminded that you are Muballigh Islam. Allah has sent you. Allah has selected you for the hidayat of humanity. Keep in front of you the example of that Jamaat and group that took deen directly from the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through Hajj in Zilhijjah, Ulama say, through Hajj in Zilhijjah, the door of Hijrat was open. Hijrat, Islamic calendar, starts with Muharram. 11 years later, once again it is Hajj. Once again it is the plains of Mina and Arafat. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing in front of his sahaba, morning of the 11th of Zilhijjah, Surah Nasr comes down, Idha ja'a Nasrullahi wal Fath. Allah informs him, the time has come for you to leave this world. It is very near. He gives the same khutbah that he gave on the 9th in Arafat. He repeats it in Mina, but there is one addition at the beginning. He addresses the Jamaat of Sahaba, Asa Allah talqawni ba'da aami hadha. O my Sahaba, perhaps after this year you will see me no more. There is no language, wallah, Allah's qasam, there is no language in this world that can ever describe the extent of emotion this one declaration would have caused among Sahaba ikram. This was that Jamaat that would address him, Nafdika bi abaina wa ummahatina, may our parents be sacrificed upon you. Everything had been given. He delivers his khutbah. At the end of that khutbah, hal balagh, O my Sahaba, have I made tabligh? No other tenet of deen, not salah, not zakat, not hajj, did he ask this question, have I fulfilled the haqq of it? Only da'wat and tabligh. Why? Because this is Ummul Hasanat, this is the mother of every good deed. When this ummat will be muballigh, when this ummat will have the cry and pain for the hidayat of humanity in its heart, when this ummat will strive in the way of Allah, when this ummat will sacrifice for the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will go from person to person, town to town, village to village, country to country, calling one person to Allah, inviting one person towards the way of life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then wallah, every branch of deen will come alive, every branch of deen will get water, and the door to irtidad will close. Allah will make decisions of hidayat, insaniyat will be saved from jahannam and go to jannat. But if this ummat will turn its back on tabligh, then the door to hidayat will close and the door to irtidad will open. Hal ballagh, have I conveyed with one voice like a kaleidoscope that 23 years of qurbani and sacrifice was there manifest in front of them? They said, ballagh tal risala wa addayt al amana wa nasakht al umma wa kashaft al ghumma wa jahat fi sabilillahi haqq jihadi. Ya Rasulullah, you have conveyed, you have fulfilled the haqq of tabligh. Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad. O Allah, you be a witness. O Allah, you be a witness. O Allah, you be a witness. There was no other qurbani more that I could have given. I gave everything for the hidayat of my ummah. No stone has been left unturned. Ya Allah, my sahaba bearing witness. My sahaba bearing witness that there was no other qurbani more that I could have given for the hidayat of my ummah. This is that Nabi sitting with his sahaba, he's crying. A janaza of a Yahudi is going past, he's crying. They ask him, Ya Rasulullah, it is a Yahudi. Why are you crying? He says, Alaysat nafsun tafallatat minni. Is it not another soul that I have lost of my ummah that is going to Jahannam? Why should I not cry? That pain in his heart, that concern, the time has come for me to leave. What legacy does he leave behind? What message did he give in his Hajjatul Wada? فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ. O my ummah, this responsibility of tabligh, this cry, this pain, this concern of mine, I am handing it over to you. Ash-shahid. He didn't say alim. He didn't say amir. He didn't say faqir. He didn't say musalli, he didn't say zakir, he didn't say that tabligh is the responsibility of alims, or tabligh is the responsibility of muttaqis, or of zakirs, or of musallis, or of rich, or of poor. No condition. Fal yuballigh shahid. Everyone present, every reciter of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, every ummati of mine, tabligh is his responsibility. He handed over this zimmedari to his sahaba and threw them the ummah till qiyamah on the plains of Mina and Arafat. This was his alwida. This was his farewell to his ummah, that carry my pain, carry my concern, carry my legacy of rahmat and mercy. What effect did this have on that Jamaat in the plains of Mina and Arafat? 124,000 Sahaba Ikram, Makkah and Medina put together, you will not find the graves of 10,000 Sahaba Ikram. Uqba bin Nafir radiallahu anhu in Algeria. Where is Najd? Where is Algeria? Abu Lubaba Ansari, Abu Zum'at al-Balawi radiallahu anhu in Tunis, Ruwaitha Ansari in Libya radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Humama radiallahu anhu in Isfahan, northeastern Iran, Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu in Tustar, Nu'man bin Muqarrin Muzani, Amr bin Mahdi Karib Az-Zabidi in Nihawin, Abdul Rahman bin Samura, Abu Rafi Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala in Khurasan in central Iran, Bara bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Tustar, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Rome, Fazal bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Hims in Syria, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu in Istanbul, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Hims in Syria, Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Damascus, Khalid bin Abdul Rahman bin Abbas, Ma'bad bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma in Northern Africa, Muaz bin Jabal, Abdul Rahman bin Muaz, father and son at the foot of the river, of the banks of the river Jordan, Shurahbil bin Hassana radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mountains of Jordan, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu in Jordan, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, Zayd bin Harisa radiallahu anhu, Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Muta. They did not let the barakat of Makkah and Medina stop them. They left Haramain Sharifain. They left the birthplace of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They took the cry. They took the pain. They took the concern that was handed to them on the plains of Mina and Arafat. And they made their graves scattered to the four corners of the world so that till Qiyamah, till Qiyamah, the Qubur of Shahada, the Qubur of Sahaba, the graves of Sahaba Ikram, scattered to the four corners of the world, are a living testimony to this Ummah that Allah has commanded you, Infiru, Infiru, Khifafan, Wathiqalan, Wajahidu, Bi Amwalikum, Wa Anfusikum, Fi Sabilillah, Dhalikum Khairul Lakum, In Kuntum Ta'lamun. Strive, strive, in ease, in adversity, whether you are poor, whether you are rich, whether you are educated, whether you are uneducated, hand yourself over to the system of Allah. If you are the ummati of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you have the concern of deen in your heart, do not be affected by condition or circumstances. Quran says, khifalan, wathiqalan, in every circumstance, strive in the way of Allah. If the sands of Medina could bear testimony, if the winds of Medina could bear testimony, if the oraq, if the pages of the annals of the history of this ummat could speak, they would shout out to this ummat of that jamaat that no excuse stood in front of them. My wife was young. There was nobody to look after my business. I was poor. I didn't have a job. This problem, I was sick. I was crippled. One excuse. I was old. I was too weak. One excuse. They broke down with the cry, with the pain, with the concern. This insaniyat must be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannat. One by one, they left Makkah. They left Medina Munawara. They left the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they went to the four corners of the world. And they became a living testimony of this command of Allah. Jahidu bi amwalikum wa anfusikum fi sabilillah. With your wealth, with your life, strive in the way of Allah. Dhalikum khairul lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. This is better for you if only you knew. My respected brothers, make tawbah of our past. Muharram has come. New year has come. It has come with the dastan, with the legacy of qurbani and sacrifice, whether it was his family members, whether it was his sahaba, whether it was his near and beloved ones, whether it was his distant ones. One by one, sacrifice so that this Mubarak deen of Islam could come alive. So that you and I could be reciters of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. On our doorstep, our brothers are becoming murtad. On our doorstep, in millions, people are going towards batil. Whose cry is this? Whose concern is this? On in Mina, when he gave the ummah the responsibility of tabligh, he said, فَلَا تُسَوِّدُوا وَجِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. O my ummah, in fulfilling this responsibility, do not become a source of embarrassment to me on the day of judgment. Prepare prepare some excuse. Prepare some excuse when we face that Mubarak Nabi. Prepare some excuse when we face the legion of Sahaba-e-Kiram who will come, someone with his hand cut off, someone with his ears cut off, someone with his nose cut off. Lawnuhu lawnu dam, wa rihuhu rihu misk. The color will be the color of blood. The smell will be the smell of musk. My respected brothers, we were sent, selected, chosen. I am not a doctor. I am not a lawyer. I am not an engineer. I am not a husband. Everything second place. First and foremost, I am the ummati of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My life and my wealth belongs to Allah. The clock is ticking. Make decision now, my respected brothers. Don't wait for another Muharram. Don't wait for another year. Take the lesson of Muharram and stand up, my respected brothers, for 4 months in the path of Allah.